Omaginatimanandasya janajana slakaya chaksu samilatan jena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manavistam stapitam jena bhutale sayam prakadamayam dadati sa padantikam. Vanshika Padubhishtha Kripasindhu Vaivacha Patitinam Pabinevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. We've been hearing Prahlad Maharaj's reply to his father, Haranyakashipu. What a father! Naturally, the father wanted the son to be like him, basically an atheist materialist. But the boy was a great devotee, through and through, to the very core of his heart. So, Prahlad first responded to his father's question about what he learned in school, by telling his father that the best thing, or what he had learned, was varam gatoyat harim ashreta, that his father and practically everyone should go to the forest to stop their materialistic way of life and take to the essence or the purpose of going to the forest, which is the purpose of our existence, which is the natural consciousness of our existence, and that is Harim Ashrita, having taken shelter of the Lord. Because Amaya Vangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that our natural constitutional position, consciousness, is that we are Krishnas. We are as part and parcel, we are inseparable from Him. But now we are living as if we had nothing to do with God, as if we were the center. And this is the cause, the essential cause, false ego, false identity, false sense of self, is the essential cause of our material existence. So going to the forest means harim ashreta, taking shelter of the Lord, regaining our true position. So Haranyakashipu was very upset when he heard this, but he thought, this is just a boy, someone's told him something, he's repeating it. So I don't like it that he's been influenced in this way, but yet he's only a boy. So he laughed and he called for the teachers and said, don't let people come and influence him. For us, this influence is a Vaishnava influence. It's the influence of our enemies. Because Haranyakashipu had made Vishnu his enemy. Because Vishnu, in the form of Lord Varahadev, had killed his brother Haranyaksha. So Sandara Marka were the two teachers who Haranyakashipu placed the boy in charge, in their charge, and they taught him and taught him and taught him. First they asked him where he learned this from, and his reply was that I didn't actually learn it from anywhere. It's completely natural for me to love Krishna. My heart is naturally attracted to Krishna. Just as iron filings are naturally attracted to a magnet. How wonderful that consciousness is. How wonderful would be that consciousness, is to be as naturally attracted to Krishna. And right now, Krishna bhule se jivan adya bahimuk. Our consciousness is backwards. Naturally unattracted to Krishna, naturally attracted to sense enjoyment. But Prahlad was not like that. He was in wonderful Krishna consciousness. And because Sandara Marka had told him that, tell us who the enemy is who's been polluting, contaminating your consciousness. Prahlad was amazed, all this talk of friends and enemies, because in his consciousness he was seeing everyone as Krishna's servant. So there was no question of friends and enemies for him. So he was somewhat shocked at this concept being as if forced down upon him by these so-called teachers. But in any case, the teachers taught him the materialistic ways of life until they thought he was sufficiently educated, and they brought him again to his father, and his father again asked him, what is the best thing that you have learned from your teachers, from your gurus? Because teacher means guru. And Prahlad's reply was so direct this time, and it was the second time that he had replied to the opposite of what Hiranyakashipu wanted to hear. And that's what we're hearing right now, Prahlad's reply. We're hearing Prabhupada's purport on that. And Prabhupada's reply was, Shravanam Kirtanam. The best thing I have learned was Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. The best thing is to always hear about Krishna, always remember Krishna, always chant Krishna's glories, to be always connected with Krishna. And these nine, this is what bhakti is. Because in these processes, our connection to Krishna is awakened. These processes of hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, serving Krishna, these are all manifestations of spiritual energy. So to come in contact with these processes is to come in contact with the spiritual energy, to come in contact with Krishna, basically. So one by one, Prabhupada is describing them, and we've heard in this quite long purport, we've heard Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, or Vishnu Smaranam, and then Parasevanam, or serving the Lord's lotus feet. Now Archanam. Five. Archanam means deity worship. After Parasevanam, Pada means feet, and Sevanam means serving the Lord's feet. Archanam. After Parasevanam comes the process of Archanam, worship of the deity. Deity is spelled D-E-I-T-Y with a capital D when it's referring to Krishna, because deity means God, serving the vigraha or form of the Lord manifest in material elements. If one is interested in the process of Archanam, one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, Prabhupada explains, and learn the process from him, because one cannot worship the deity whimsically. There are many books for Archana, especially Narada Pancharatra. In this age, the Pancharatra system is particularly recommended for Archana, deity worship. There are two systems of Archana, the Bhagavata system and Pancharatriki system. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no recommendation of Pancharatriki worship, because in this Kali Yuga, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed simply through hearing, chanting, remembering and worship of the lotus feet of the Lord. So there are two paths. One is called Bhagavata Marg, and the other is called Pancharatriki Vidhi or Marg. So Pancharatriki is the worship of the deity according to rules and regulations. In Bhagavat Marg, or the Bhagavat path or regulations, they're based on directly associating with Krishna through hearing and chanting, especially, and remembering. So this is the Bhagavat Marg, or the Bhagavat path. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught that we should follow both. We should use the rules and regulations from the Pancharatriki path, and yet we should be deeply immersed, saturated, practically speaking, with hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord, hearing about I'm chanting about and remembering the Lord. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chant Krishna's names. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chant about Krishna. Glorify Krishna. Chant his names. Preach his glories. Be speaking about Krishna. Be hearing about Krishna. The consciousness should become saturated with this. But to allow us to keep the purity to do this, one should follow the rules and regulations that were Pancharatriki Vidhi and the deity worship. So if one would only, even without deity worship, Prabhupada said, even if one would hear and chant and remember and worship the lotus feet of the Lord, engage fully in Bhagavata Marg, then everything gets accomplished. One can achieve perfection in this way. So therefore the Pancharatriki Vidhi is practically speaking a support for the Bhagavata Vidhi or the Bhagavata Marg. So then Prabhupada's purport confirms that everything is performed perfectly through hearing, chanting, remembering, and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord by quoting Srila Rupa Goswami saying, Sri Vishnu Shravane Parikshit Abhavad Vayasakki Kirtane Prahlada Smarane Tarangri Bhajane Lakshmi Pitu Pujane Akroras Tvabhivandane Kapipatir Dasye Yatasakya Arjuna Sarvasatmanavedana Balirabhud Krishna Tiresham Param. Prickett Maharaj attained salvation simply by hearing, and Sukadeva Goswami attained salvation simply by chanting. Prahlad Maharaj attained salvation by remembering the Lord. And it's interesting to note that this is Prahlad Maharaj's perfection. His path of perfection, the constant remembrance of the Lord, being deeply connected to Krishna, though always remembering him. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, attained perfection by worshipping the Lord's lotus feet. Prithu Maharaj attained salvation by worshipping the deity of the Lord. Akura attained salvation by offering prayers, Hanuman by rendering service, Arjuna by establishing friendship with the Lord, and Bali Maharaj by offering everything to the service of the Lord. All these great devotees serve the Lord according to a particular process, but every one of them attained salvation and became eligible to return home back to Godhead. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is therefore recommended that initiated devotees follow the principles of Narada Pancharatra by worshipping the deity in the temple, especially for household devotees who are opulent in material possessions. The path of deity worship is strongly recommended. And we see in that previous verse that Prithu Maharaj was worshipping the deity and he was a king. So what does it mean when the king or the ruler worships the deity? That means that his mood or his consciousness is that the kingdom is not his. The kingdom belongs to his worshipable master, the deity, God, Krishna. And he is worshipping the deity and ruling the kingdom on behalf of the deity, on behalf of God. So he is thinking himself a master, and that is specifically what deity worship, the consciousness that deity worship places one within, that I am not the servant, I am the master. Whoops, my consciousness is revealed. Oh yeah, that's right, it's not that I'm the master, I'm the servant, that's right, I always forget. So the deity, so householders who tend to think that it's my house and all the possessions of family members are mine, They should install a deity, especially if they have opulence. Why? Because the opulence in the family, everything, should be used in the service of the master of the house. So not that the householder is the master of his house, but everything is being used in the service of the real master of the house, and that's the deity, that's Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada explains, especially for householder devotees who are opulent in material possessions, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. Otherwise, one will become fixed in master consciousness. An opulent household devotee who does not engage his hard-earned money in the service of the Lord is called a miser. One should not engage paid brahmanas to worship the deity. If one does not personally worship the deity but engages paid servants instead, he's considered lazy, and his worship of the deity is called artificial. An opulent householder can collect luxurious paraphernalia for deity worship, and consequently, for householder devotees, the worship of the deity is compulsory. In our Krishna consciousness movement, there are brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. But the deity worship in the temple should be performed especially by the householders. The brahmacharis can go with the sannyasis to preach, and the vanaprasthas should prepare themselves for the next status of renounced life, sannyas. Grihastha devotees, however, are generally engaged in material activities. Why are grihasthas generally engaged in material activities? Because they have to maintain themselves. There's such an entanglement with family, finances, house, etc. Have to associate with non-devotees, have to earn money. So therefore, one tends to be physically involved in material activities and mentally involved in material activities, and therefore, the cure for that is to worship the deity, because that keeps one focused and thinking that family, money, this is all yours, O Lord. So grihastha devotees, however, are generally engaged in material activities, and therefore if they do not take to deity worship, their falling down is positively assured. Deity worship means following the rules and regulations precisely. That will keep one steady in devotional service. Generally, householders have children, and then the wives of the householders should be engaged in caring for the children, just as women acting as teachers care for the children in a nursery school. So these were some of Prabhupada's ideas for running the society, that the Matajis, the women, can take care of the children, and the men can do deity worship, things like this. And that's become fixed in servant consciousness. Prabhupada even had told me that they shouldn't just take care of their own children, the women. He said that they should take care of many to free the other ladies to do other kinds of services as well, like a nursery school. Like teachers care for children in nursery school, not just one. That was his concept too. Grihastha devotees must adopt the Archana Vidhi, or deity worship, according to the suitable arrangements and directions given by the spiritual master. Regarding those unable to take to the deity worship in the temple, there is the following statement in the Agni Purana. Any householder devotee circumstantially unable to worship the deity must at least see the deity worship, and in this way he may achieve success also. The special purpose of deity worship is to keep oneself always pure and clean. Grihastha devotees should be actual examples of cleanliness. Deity worship should be continued along with hearing and chanting. That's the Pancharatriki Vidhi along with the Bhagavata Vidhi. Therefore, every mantra is preceded by the word Namaha. In all the mantras, there are specific potencies of which the grihastha devotees must take advantage. There are many mantras preceded by the word Namaha, but if one chants the holy name of the Lord, he receives the results of chanting Namaha many times. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can reach the platform of love of God. One may ask, then, what is the necessity of being initiated? If one can reach the spiritual world just by chanting Krishna's names, and Krishna's names are so powerful, why take initiation? Because one of the main purposes of initiation is to give one the facility to do deity worship. So if one doesn't need deity worship and one can achieve everything through chanting the holy name, why do deity worship? Why not just chant the holy name? Why then, what then is the necessity for initiation? The answer is that even though the chanting of the holy name is sufficient to enable one to progress in spiritual life to the standard of love of Godhead, one is nonetheless susceptible to contamination because of possessing a material body. Consequently, special stress is given to the archana vidhi. One should therefore regularly take advantage of both the Bhagavata process and the Pancharatriki process. So the deity worship supports and protects one through cleanliness, through imposing a servant consciousness, because it should be very punctual, clean, specific mantras. So it forces one to think about Krishna through the external vidhis, or rules and regulations. So that purifies one, keeps one more in the mode of goodness, places one's consciousness upon Krishna. And that will help one progress, especially through the Bhagavata vidhi, or the chanting of the holy names, etc. So one should perform both. Deity worship has two divisions, namely pure and mixed with fruit of activities. For one who is steady, deity worship is compulsory. Observing the various types of festivals, such as Sri Janmashtami, Ramnomi, and Nrisingha Chaturdasi, is also included in the process of deity worship. In other words, it is compulsory for household devotees to observe these festivals. Then there is the Prabhupada in the next section of his purport explains in relationship to the deity worship all the rules and regulations and the offenses, because if one performs seva aparad, or offenses to the deities, then that inhibits one's advancement. It stops the glorious purification that comes from worshiping the deity. So there's 64 of these. So one should read these, and these are also mentioned as Prabhupada explains in the Bhakti Samhita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion. So especially those who are worshiping the deity should worship without offenses. But we'll continue a little past that. If one commits any of the above offenses, one must read at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is confirmed in the Skanda Purana, Avanti Kanda. Similarly, there is another injunction stating that one who reads the 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu, that's the Vishnu Sahasranam, can be released from all offenses. In the same Skanda Purana, Revakanda, it is said that one who recites prayers to Tulsi or sows a Tulsi seed is also freed from all offenses. Similarly, one who worships the Shalagram Shila can also be relieved of all offenses. In the Brahmanda Pramana, it is said that one who worships Lord Vishnu, whose four hands bear a conch shell disc, lotus, flower, and club, can be relieved from the above offenses. In the Adi Varaha Purana, it is said that a worshipper who has committed offenses may fast for one day at the holy place known as Sokarav and then bathe in the Ganges. And Prabhupada, after explaining the offenses, here he's explained how to become relieved from the offenses if one happens to commit offenses in his deity worship. And then Prabhupada continues explaining that one can worship the deity within one's mind. And he tells a story that's also in the Nectar Devotion of a Brahmana who was very poor, and he was worshipping the deity very luxuriously in his mind. And he was collecting water and golden and jewel pots from all the holy rivers and holy places and offering it to the deity, all in his mind. And then he was cooking in his mind and offering that to the deity. And all this is legitimate, to do all this in one's mind. It's not easy, because the mind tends to be so flickering, but it's a legitimate way to worship. And then one day he was cooking in his mind sweet rice for the deity, all mentally. And sweet rice, after finishing the sweet rice and cooking it and stirring it, the milk and the rice, then he wanted to see if it was cool enough to serve, to offer to the deity, because sweet rice is more tasty when it's cool. So in his mind, he touched the sweet rice with his finger, in his mind. And then, ow, he felt pain. And he looked and he saw that his finger was actually burnt. So he was wondering about this astounding thing. And at the same time, Lakshmi Devi saw the Lord of Vaikuntha laugh or smile. And she asked him why he was smiling. And it was because he had played this trick on this Brahmana. So the Brahmana had worshipped in this way mentally for so many years. And then the Lord came and took him to the spiritual world due to his devotion. So after explaining this, Prabhupada continues, after explaining Archanam, which is after Padasevanam, and now he's going to explain Vandanam, or offering prayers or obeisances. Although prayers are a part of deity worship, they may be considered separately, like the other items, this is Vandanam, such as hearing and chanting, and therefore separate statements are given herewith. The Lord has unlimited transcendental qualities and opulences, and one who feels influenced by the Lord's qualities in various activities offers prayers to the Lord. In this way he becomes successful. In this connection, the following are some of the offenses to be avoided: to offer obeisances on one's hand, because it's not only prayers, but also offering obeisances. So here's some more, so it's five offenses or so. To offer obeisances on one hand, to offer obeisances with one's body covered, to show one's back to the deity, to offer obeisances on the left side of the deity, to offer obeisances very near the deity. Seven is dasyam, so Prabhupada is not going to explain much about vandanam, offering prayers and offering obeisances. Dasyam. There is the following statement in regard to assisting the Lord as a servant, because dasya means as a servant. After many, many thousands of births, when one comes to understand that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, one can deliver others from this universe. If one simply continues to think that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, even without performing any other process of devotional service, he can attain full success. For simply by this feeling, one can perform all nine processes of devotional service. So a very powerful statement about dasyam, or understanding oneself as the Lord's servant. And the example of dasyam is Hanuman, the great servant of Lord Ram. Next, Sakyam, means friendship. In regard to worshipping the Lord as a friend, the Agastya Samhita states that a devotee engaged in performing devotional service by Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, sometimes wants to see the Lord personally. And for this purpose, he resides in the temple. Elsewhere, there is this statement: O my Lord, Supreme Personality and Eternal Friend, although you are full of bliss and knowledge, you have become the friend of the residents of Vrindavan. How fortunate are these devotees. In this statement, the word friend is specifically used to indicate intense love. Friendship, therefore, is better than servitude. In the stage above dasyaras, or servitude, the devotee accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a friend. This is not at all astonishing, for when a devotee is pure in heart, the opulence of his worship of the deity diminishes as spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested. In this regard, Sridhar Swami mentions Sudama Vipra, who expressed to himself his feeling of obligation, thinking, life after life, may I be connected with Krishna in this friendly attitude. 9. Atmanivedanam. This is the giving of one's full self to Krishna. The word Atmanivedanam refers to the stage at which one who has no motive other than to serve the Lord surrenders everything to the Lord and performs his activities only to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee is like a cow that is cared for by its master. When cared for by its master, a cow is not in anxiety over its maintenance. Such a cow is always devoted to its master, and it never acts independently, but only for the master's benefit. Some devotees, therefore, consider dedication of the body to the Lord to be Atmanivedana, and, as stated in the book known as Bhakti Vivek, sometimes dedication of the soul to the Lord is called Atmanivedanam. The best examples of Atmanivedanam are found in Bali Maharaj and Ambarish Maharaj, because these great souls gave everything to Krishna. They were both kings, and they gave everything to Krishna. Atmanivedanam is also sometimes found in the behavior of Rukmini Devi at Dwarka. Text 25. So after explaining to Hiranyakashipu that this was the best thing that he heard, that one should practice bhakti in these 9 ways. Text 25. After hearing these words of devotional service from the mouth of his son Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry. His lips trembling, he spoke as follows to Sunda, the son of his guru, Sukracharya. So Sunda again is one of the teachers who was teaching Prahlad. So Hiranyakashipu was furious, and he said to Sunda, "O unqualified, most heinous son of a brahmana, you have disobeyed my order and taken shelter of the party of my enemies. You have taught this poor boy about devotional service. What is this nonsense? In due course of time, various types of diseases are manifest in those who are sinful. Similarly, in this world, there are many deceptive friends in false garbs, but eventually, because of their false behavior, their actual enmity becomes manifest." So he's accusing him of, "You're acting as if you're obeying me, that you're serving me and devoted to me. But actually, you're working against me behind my back, and therefore you've polluted this boy's intelligence." That's what he's accusing Sunda of, the teacher. Text 28. The son of Sukracharya, Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, said, "O enemy of King Indra, O king, whatever your son Prahlad has said was not taught to him by me or anyone else. His spontaneous devotional service has naturally developed in him. Therefore, please give up your anger and do not unnecessarily accuse us. It is not good to insult a Brahmin in this way." Sri Narada Muni, who was telling this pastime to Yudhisthira Maharaj, continued, "When Hiranyakashipu received this reply from his teacher, that the boy was spontaneously a devotee and that he wasn't being taught by anyone or contaminated, he again addressed his son Prahlad." Hiranyakashipu, at this time, he was furious. Hiranyakashipu said, "You rascal, most fallen of our family, if you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it?" Now the next 3 verses are very famous. He's asking, where have you gotten this from? So we'll say the Sanskrit to at least. Matirna Krishna Paratakspato Vamito Bivadita Grihavatanam Andanta Gobi Vishatam Tamizram Puna Punas Charvita Charvanananam. Nate Vedus Fadagatim Vishnu Dharasaya ye bharan artamanina andaryatandar upaniyamanas tepi jatantram urudam nivadha naisham matis tabaram rukramangrim sprishad yanarta pagamo yanarta mahiyasham pararajo vishekam Niskinchananam Navanityavad. So Raja Kashyapu was already angry at Prahlad Maharaj. He was furious. And this is going to be the end of their relationship, practically speaking. So the first of the three verses, Matirna Krishne Paratakshvatova. Mityo Vipadyeta Vihavratanam. Where have you understood this from? Who has taught you? What has Prahlad been taught? To be inclined to Krishna, to love Krishna, to be attracted to Krishna. He's already told the teachers that his love for Krishna was spontaneous. Now his father is asking him, and he'll first explain why his father can't understand what he understands. Matirna Krishna means the mind's inclination to Krishna. Matir, the mind, not Krishna. It cannot happen to one who is... I'll read the verse. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has been already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. So Matirna Krishna, the inclination to Krishna, is never aroused, even if someone gives them instructions, or one tries oneself, or a combination of getting instructions from others and trying oneself, the inclination to love Krishna won't be aroused. In who? In those who have uncontrolled senses. Those who are addicted to materialistic life, who think that life's purpose is enjoyment. And rather than making progress towards Krishna, developing love for Krishna, spontaneous love for Krishna, this type of person, andanti gobhya vishata tamizram, they make their progress not to Krishna but to hell due to their uncontrolled senses. So regardless of what people say, what is really on their mind? Prabhupada explains about halfway down this first page, about a quarter of the way through the purport. Their only business is puna punas charvita charvanananam, chewing the chewed again and again. What does chewing the chewed mean? This is the last line. Punas punas charvita charvanananam. Chewing the chewed means, or the example is, when one has taken some sugar candy, sugar cane, and one chews it and chews it and chews it, and what happens when one chews it? The sweetness is there, all the sugar is in there. And then by chewing it, the sugar or the sweetness comes out. And then after chewing it and chewing it and chewing it, one spits out the remain, what remains. With all the sweetness has been extracted. In Cantonese, they have the name for that, which one spits out is called ja. It's rejected, ja. Nothing, what's the value of it? All the sugar's been extracted. But then, after something has been chewed, and there's nothing left in it of value, then someone sees it on the ground and picks it up and eats it, trying to get some pleasure from it. Or the contemporary example is chewing gum. Taking someone's chewing gum or something like that after he's chewed it for, and there's nothing good in it. Not very attractive, is it? But that's what a materialistic person is accused of doing in this verse. There won't be any sweetness in it. There won't be any pleasure in it. It's all gone. No matter how hard you try, the sugar cane is finished. The sugar is refuse now. The chewing gum finished. Nothing left in it. All you get is your own work. So that is what it's like trying to enjoy the senses. Plus, not only does one not get the pleasure that one hoped for and was dreaming of, but plus, due to the sinful activities that one commits to do this, one goes towards hell, makes progress in that direction only. Repeatedly, again and again, chewing that which has already been chewed. So regardless of what most people profess, what are they actually doing? Their only business is puna, punas, chavata, chavananam, chewing the chewed again and again, trying to enjoy the senses. The aim of such politicians and academic scholars is to enjoy this material world with their bodily senses. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that those who are griha-vratas, whose only aim is to live comfortably with the body in this material, in the material world, cannot understand Krishna. The two expressions, griha-vrata and charvita-charvananam, indicate that a materialistic person tries to enjoy sense gratification in different bodily forms, life after life, but is still unsatisfied. In the name of personalism, this-ism, or that-ism, such persons always remain attached to the materialistic way of life. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 244, Bhogaishwarya Pashaktinam Taya Parishashestatam Vyavyasatmika Buddhi Samadhana Vidyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment to material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So as Prabhupada has stated in other places, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. Those who are too attached to material enjoyment cannot be fixed in devotional service to the Lord. They cannot understand Bhagavan, Krishna, or his instructions, Bhagavad Gita. Andanta gobir vishatata mizram, their path actually leads towards hellish life. A little further down in the purport. Conditions are said to be chewing the chewed. No one has been able to adjust material conditions to bring happiness, sufficiently to bring happiness. But life after life, generation after generation, people try and repeatedly fail. Unless one is properly trained by a Mahatma, or unalloyed devotee of the Lord, there is no possibility of one's understanding Krishna and his devotional service. The next verse. Nate vidu svadagatim hi Vishnu durasayaye bharatamanina andayatandarupaniyamanas tepi shatantram murudam nibada. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life, Prahlad says. This is what he says to his father, so bold. So persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men guided by another blind man misses the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruit of labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. So a very graphic example condemning materialistic civilization. People who don't know what the purpose of life is. People who are blind in that way. Who think that the purpose of life is to enjoy the senses, although it can't bring happiness. So people who are blind to reality, that by adjusting the material conditions, by doing this and moving this from here to here and trying to solve this problem through materialistic means and that, etc. Such people are the blind. They're blind. And they are the leading others. So what happens when one blind man says, don't worry about a thing, just put your hand on my shoulder because you're blind. So put your hand on my shoulder and just follow me, I'm walking. What happens? The result is the blind leading the blind results in falling into a ditch, ruination, or getting hit by a truck or something. Horrible, horrible ending. So this civilization of the blind leading the blind, leading the blind. So here's Prabhupada's purport. Since there must always be a difference of opinion between demons and devotees, Hiranyakashipu, when criticized by his son Prahlad Maharaj, should not have been surprised that Prahlad Maharaj differed from his way of life. Nonetheless, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry and wanted to rebuke his son for deriding his teacher or spiritual master who had been born in the Brahmana family of the great Acharya, Sukracharya. The word Sukra means semen, and Acharya refers to a teacher or guru. Hereditary gurus or spiritual masters have been accepted everywhere since time immemorial. But Prahlad Maharaj declined to accept such a seminal guru or take instruction from him. An actual guru is Srotriya, one who has heard or received knowledge, perfect knowledge, through parampara, the disciplic succession. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not recognize a seminal spiritual master. Such spiritual masters are not at all interested in Vishnu. Indeed, they are hopeful of material success by here Artha Manina. So Prahlad Maharaj has criticized the following of Sukracharya because his desire is material success, trying to gain something. And again, he's already condemned anyone who thinks that they can be happy in the material world. And so anyone who thinks they can be happy is condemned, and following such people who think in that way are still more condemned. So this is the hereditary guru system, or the official guru system. But Prahlad is rejecting this, and Prabhupada is emphasizing this strongly in this purport. Such spiritual masters are not at all interested in Vishnu, in God, or Vishnu Bhakti. Indeed, they are hopeful of material success. Bahir Arta Manina. The word Bahi means external, Arta means interest, and Manina means taking very seriously. Generally speaking, practically everyone is unaware of the spiritual world. The knowledge of the materialist is restricted within the 4 billion mile limit of this material world, which is in the dark portion of the creation. They do not know that beyond the material world is the spiritual world. Unless one is a devotee of the Lord, one cannot understand the existence of the spiritual world. Gurus, teachers who are simply interested in this material world are described in this verse as andha, blind. Such blind men may lead other blind followers without true knowledge of material conditions, but they are being accepted by devotees, but they are not being accepted by devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Such blind teachers being interested in the external material world are always bound by the strong ropes of material nature. So the first verse, don't be foolish. One can't get an inclination to Krishna. One can't see properly if one is attached to sense enjoyment. Rather, one will be chewing the chewed continuously and end up in hell. And following people who don't lead us to Krishna is like following a blind person. What will be the result of following a blind person? Destruction, ruination. So the next question is how to gain the inclination to Krishna. How to gain love for Krishna. How to stop the inclination for sense gratification, which will lead us to hellish life, and gain the inclination to Krishna, which will lead us back to Krishna's lotus feet in the eternal spiritual world. So that question is answered in the next verse, text 32, and if Krishna allows, we shall begin there tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.